battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Amitai Etzioni, who's the University Professor and Professor of International Affairs and Director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. He served as a senior advisor to the White House from 1979 to 1980, and in 1990, he founded the Communitarian Network, a not-for-profit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to shoring up the moral, social, and political foundations of society. Dr. Etzioni is the author of 24 books, including his most recent, My Brother's Keeper, A Memoir and a Message, From Empire to Community, A New Approach to International Relations, and How Patriotic is the Patriot Act. He has an article at The Atlantic, The Liberal Narrative is Broken and Only Populism Can Fix It. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Amitai Etzioni.
I'm delighted to be back with you.
And last time we spoke, you talked about how, in effect, it's fallacious to see our political divide in our democracy, if we can use such a generous term, that the divide between the Democrats and the Republicans really is not the best way to look at American politics, that the real divide is between a conservative party and a very small liberal party. And so I take it that the article that you've written in The Atlantic, The Liberal Narrative is Broken, and only populism can fix it, is that's the next stage in your argument, is it not?
Exactly right. Allow me just to take 1 second and wish Eleni Etzioni in Los Angeles happy Mother's Day, mother of my wonderful grandchildren. They are very, very much the way you say it. Before we come to the solution, we need to recognize the problem. We keep talking about Democrats and Republicans, but about a half Democrat, both in the electorate and in Congress, very often vote with the Republicans. Think about Conrad and Ben Nelson and Bacchus. And so to begin with, the deck is stacked against the liberals because they're a minority. Then liberals console themselves and say, well, you don't get it. These people are just philosophically conservative. But when you ask them about specific programs, Medicare, Social Security, they love them. All we have to do is remind people that the government gives them all these good services, the parks, the airports and such, and they will vote liberal. But it turns out people cannot vote for specific programs. They just have one vote, and about two-thirds cast them on the basis of their philosophy, which is conservative. So then we come to the question, where is the narrative? Where is the, a liberal rationale which can get us over, peel off some of those other people to join the liberal cause?
Well, I suppose in a way you have to go back to Williams Jennings Bryan and the first Gilded Age, when I think it's reasonable to say we're in a kind of repeat of the Gilded Age today, with the disparity of wealth and the 99% versus the 1%. But back in the first Gilded Age, when McKinley ran against William Jennings Bryan, you had real populism on the left. You had a powerful liberal movement, and it was actually tied to the Bible, if you will. You know, you had a religious left in those days, not a religious right. So, what happened to that?
Well, you got me here because I'm not very up on American history. Actually, I'm a sociologist, and I spent the last 50 years studying contemporary American society. And I just learned something from you. No, and I didn't know about the religious left, so I knew about Catholic workers and such.
Right. Well, remember, he was the guy, William Jennings Bryan, who was outspent about 200-1 by the plutocrats, and then McKinley got elected and was almost immediately shot. And then the accidental president showed up, Teddy Roosevelt, who they put on the ticket to balance the ticket, so that the plutocrats wouldn't look so so greedy. That was, of course, their worst nightmare. Teddy Roosevelt turned out to be a reformer. But the Williams Jennings Bryan is the same guy that did the Scopes trial, where he argued against evolution in a famous, you know, iconic trial that they made a movie out of. So that's a. I don't mean to give you a history lesson.
No, that's actually the part about Roosevelt even I knew. Yeah. But let's roll it forward to 2013. So where is this? Where is the narrative, which I think has a prayer, if you want to use a religious term, and I believe it's not a 99. It's not anything which starts the story with what sounds like reallocation of wealth. I believe at the moment the issue is to talk to people who are angry for very good reason. And many of them are not liberal at all. In fact, many of them support the Tea Party. And they have a strong sense that the government is not working for them. It's not responding to their needs. And very often they're right. The political science term, which I think is most appropriate here, is the term captured. There are many parts of the government which have been captured by very narrow special interests. If you just close your eyes and throw a dart at the news, you'll come up with a story practically every day about some part of the government which, instead of working for the people, for workers, for farmers, for consumers, is working for very special interests. And some of them are so outrageous that it makes my blood boil. So just to take, I give you as many examples as your time allows. If you are the director of a hedge fund, which to begin with does no good, to begin with is kind of an ugly form of speculation, you don't have to pay income tax like the rest of us. Your salary is treated like capital gains. Why? Because they somehow got some contribution to somebody in Congress, and they've written that into the law. If you run a casino or some of those private prisons, you don't have to pay federal income tax because you declare yourself as a real estate, and the IRS approved that you don't have to, and. So when you read this day in, day out, you do not feel, you don't think about a government as the one which gives you the parks in Yosemite and ensures the traffic of the airlines and makes your drugs safe. You think about it as a bunch of people who are in the pockets of special interests. That anger is misdirected because if you scratch it, people can see, and I think we can show them, that it's not the government which is at play here, but those special interests with deep pockets who are able to capture large parts of the government.
And again, I speak with Dr. Amitai Etzioni, who's a university professor and professor of international affairs and director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. He has an article at The Atlantic, "The Liberal Narrative is Broken and Only Populism Can Fix It." So in terms of setting this context, then maybe it is time to have a national debate about the extent to which we still have a democracy, whether it is in fact an oligarchy and a corporate plutocracy that have taken over our democracy, if indeed, as is apparently the case, most of the federal government has been captured.
You're absolutely right. I think the technical term you used earlier, plutocracy, is exactly the correct one. Increasingly, instead of one person, one vote, we have $1, one vote. But it turns out that, and there's unfortunately a lot of evidence, that for some reason the American public eyes glazes over when you talk to them about campaign financing reform. They either don't believe that you can stem the flood of corporate money, or they've been convinced that, as the Supreme Court ruled, that money is speech. Or in general, they're more interested in employment and jobs and substantive issues than what's called process issues. But unfortunately, that end of the story, even after Citizens United, which further opened the floodgates for corporations, it seems that's not a story we can start with. So I think we have to start showing people that it's a special interest which pervert and the government, turn it into plutocracy. I believe then they will be ready to make the next step and realize that unless you return to one person, one vote, we will not have anything resembling a democracy.
Well, is it possible, though, that we're talking about a kind of political version of the Stockholm syndrome here, where the victim identifies with the torturer, that working people in this country and people who vote Republican, and again, it's 2-1 for every liberal, there are 2 conservatives in America, that there's nothing that strikes me as more cynical than the idea that these plutocrats who have stolen the country out from under us, we call them job creators.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is, having the correct analysis now that we agree, is how to bring in this conversation to people, whether they have a Stockholm syndrome or they are bored by discussing campaign finance reforms, or they have become cynical because, for instance, President Obama promised in the last election campaign that he will introduce a constitutional amendment to prevent corporations from making unlimited donation, to correct for these things the Supreme Court, the conservative Supreme Court did, but allowing unlimited donations by corporations and by rich tycoons, that he didn't take a single step in that direction. So it's very, very difficult not to become cynical when the administration makes deals with pharma, makes deals with insurance companies. Well, single payer was not even discussed. We considered a great liberal victory when we have now a program called Obamacare, which was invented by the Heritage Foundation as an antidote to the liberal agenda of a single payer. And so we really need to find a way to restore people's faith that, yes, change can happen.
So in terms of that narrative, as opposed to the broken liberal narrative, what have you come up with? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No. I think at one point the president talked about a fair society, and society in which everybody has a fair shot, everybody plays by the same rules, and I think that is a good vision. It does not start where maybe some people want to end up, where everybody has the same assets. That's not a good starting point for an American conversation. But a society which everybody gets a fair share. The word fair, I tested it, and it has a much broader appeal than the term equality. And the other side is a narrative must have the bad guy or the bad, who is the cause of the problem, not only the salvation. And the cause of the problem are narrow special interests with deep pockets. That's a conversation which Occupy Wall Street can share even with many in the Tea Party.
And you don't need to identify the bad guys? You think people know who they are?
Oh, I can give you the list. There are corporations which pollute. There are the banks which take taxpayers' money and give bonuses to the executives. There are the people who don't put into jail, people who hire people to commit fraud. Their list is clear and not at all difficult. It's daily in the papers.
So, but what do you say?
Just one detail here. Yeah. We need to, above all, to explain it's not just rotten apples. There's something rotten in the barrel.
I get that, but one of the problems with the liberals are that they're very faint of heart, and they're very easily disappointed, as they are with Obama, and I have a lot of liberal friends, and their first instinct is to attack a fellow Democrat who's slightly to the right of them than to attack a Republican who's a million miles to the right of them. And that seems to be a kind of pathology. And you know, how do you inspire these people to re-engage in a broken political system?
Well, you raise a very, very important issue here. So we now have this new group, which the Obama people organized, and they've been going after those Democrats, conservative Democrats, who voted against gun control. And they've been criticized by the Democratic Party along the line you just said. Why don't you go after Republicans and leave the Democrats alone? That's not going to work. I do believe that you can tell a liberal senator from a conservative, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. And those people who attack entitlements, who want to cut Medicare and Social Security to transfer more money to Wall Street, I don't care what party they belong to. And that, if we not accept that, I don't see how we can bring real change. And let me just be clear about this last point. If anybody would say, let's collect money from the average American, the worker, poor, everybody, and send a check to Wall Street, you would say, come on, even in the United States, that doesn't happen. But when we do it in two steps, first we create a deficit that is largely caused by Wall Street. Then we pay for it by collecting taxes from the American people. That's basically the same thing, only it's done in two steps. So the situation is really very embittering, and I believe we need to use the darker language because it's a true language.
Well, you have to add to that the deficit itself, the debt, is owned by the wealthy and it's serviced by the taxpayers.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. So, you know, there are pension funds and senior citizens.
Right, exactly.
It gets a little complicated.
It does get more complicated. Well, just though, is there a connection, Dr. Amitai Etzioni, between the lowering of our education standards and the collapse of public education and the rise of right-wing voters? Is it a case that not just that the liberals don't have a narrative that's attractive and engaging most Americans, most Americans, you know, are ill-educated?
Yeah, it's true that when people there's very good correlation between being well-informed and having a college education and a better understanding of the American political system. But even in this area, we need a second thought. Look what happened to the attempt by Al Gore to create a progressive radio program or television show. And Air America, and now he sold it to Al Jazeera. We are not doing very well in the field of communication. And Fox is doing better. Two MSNBC is trying to catch up. But we really don't have a very strong liberal narrative and a very strong network of liberal communication tools. You're kind of like a voice in the wilderness. And we need a narrative and we need to be able to tell it.
Well, yeah, I certainly wouldn't turn to Al Gore. After all, he lost three debates to George W. Bush. The smart guy lost to the dumb guy. So I think we got to do better than Al Gore.
That's exactly. But where is that other person?
Well, I know. I mean, you can look back in history. There have been great, great left-wing populists. Will Rogers, for example, was the most popular man in America, and he was very much of the working man. Mark Twain, what a great example he is. I wish we could find somebody like him today.
I'll second that in a
heartbeat. Well, look, we've got to end it now, and I thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Amitai Etzioni.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Amitai Etzioni, who's the University Professor and Professor of International Affairs and Director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. He served as a senior advisor to the White House from 1979 to 1980, and in 1990, he founded the Communitarian Network, a not-for-profit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to shoring up the moral, social, and political foundations of society. Dr. Etzioni is the author of 24 books, including his most recent, My Brother's Keeper, A Memoir and a Message, From Empire to Community, A New Approach to International Relations, and How Patriotic is the Patriot Act. He has an article at The Atlantic, The Liberal Narrative is Broken and Only Populism Can Fix It. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. The other became